around the world and on satellite.
Gregory, and we're going to talk to you about the kingdom of God. And we are live in New York City. I'm out here for a few days. If anyone wanted to get a hold of me, they can get a hold of me through the Northeast Network. Go up there to the website, hisholychurch.info. Click on the icon with the guy with the net. Go to local network groups. Finding local network groups and join the Northeast Network. Get a hold of the contact minister. The only one on that group right now who's a contact minister is Kendall Anderson. There could be a number of them that you could pick if everyone who were on that group would get together and start realizing how the network works. Networks work when you work at them. And that's what we're trying to build here. That's what early Israel was a network of people, 10 families, pick a minister. 10 ministers pick a minister. They're picking guys they trust, guys they rely on, guys that get the job done, guys who, it's kind of the buddy system times 10. So they work together to keep an eye on one another. That was their social welfare system. That was their government. That was the way in which they actually loved their neighbor as themselves, was they got together and they cared enough about each other to get together. It wasn't just a Sunday thing, a Saturday thing. It was, 365-day, 7-day-a-week thing, where you actually cared about each other all the time. If there was an invasion, if there was a famine, if someone got injured, you went to church. You went to the church in the wilderness, the Levites. They were your health, education, and welfare. They were your FEMA. They were based on faith, emergency management, auxiliary. And they took care of the needs of society through faith, hope, and charity under the perfect law of liberty. Here in the Big Apple, that's not the way they do things. They haven't done it that way for an awful long time. Back in the early days of America, there was quite a bit of this around. They actually had tithing set up. This is how they began to form their natural government, was they were minutemen for each other. Not only when there was an Indian invasion or a military invasion, but they were there when there was bad storms, when there was sickness, when there was crops that needed to be brought in. We had recently a local farmer was killed changing his irrigation lines, went out on a road on a small motorcycle, and didn't see somebody coming around the back of another vehicle as he passed through the dust as it was kicking up on the road, and had a head-on collision, was killed. His crops were all brought in by neighbors. His family would not have to worry about any deprivation or starvation or anything. In the old days, that's what would happen to you. Your husband was killed. Chances are your children may not survive because there was nobody to take care of you, except there was. In the old days, family was there. Friends were there. Neighbors were there. They took care of one another. It created a strong sense of community. Well, you can do this in a small village fairly easy, in many small villages, small communities. Our own community out in Summer Lake does that. Like I've told the story before, when the big fire came through, nobody lost their home in our valley because neighbors stood in front of neighbor's home and made sure the flames didn't burn them. I mean, the decks were smoking, windows cracked, but the houses did not go up in flames. Meanwhile, the fire department, not the local fire department, because we are our local fire department, but the forestry fire department, was down on the highway. We could see them in their yellow jackets. They actually tried to get us to, arrested so that we wouldn't save the homes. But they stood down there, drank coffee, did whatever they did, and they evacuated because there was danger. Well, of course there was danger. There's always danger, and there are people who are willing to face danger for the good and welfare of their neighbor, and there are people who are willing to sit in their homes and do nothing. Which group do you want to be with? Which group do you want to be a part of? Those ones who will be Minutemen for you, or those who will be down on the road drinking coffee when your house is set aflame? And they'll say, oh, well, that's too bad. You know, I pointed out before that the Amish don't have insurance. They don't need insurance. They have each other. That's a very simple concept. It's been around for a long time, and we have lost sight of it because we have been looking in the wrong direction. Our face has been facing in the wrong direction. We need to turn around and look another direction. More and more you see governments all over the world, certainly in the United States, they're moving towards socialism. You can't really be a socialist and a Christian. A socialist in the sense that we use the term today. I used to have a sign over my desk that said, capitalism, a man exploits man. In socialism, the process is reversed, which of course comes out to man exploits man. It's just a different way of exploiting each other because it's about exercising authority one over the other. Actually, I'm not against capitalism. I think capitalism is a really good idea. We haven't had capitalism in this country for at least almost 100 years. Almost 100 years we haven't had capitalism in this country. We've had debtism. We don't invest capital. We invest debt because we operate with a Federal Reserve System. Almost every country in the world operates with a Federal Reserve System because almost every country in the world has gone that way. Last few countries that have signed up to that type of system that had held off and operated in the black have been conquered by either American troops or American weaponry. East Timor, Panama, even Iraq had a peculiar system. I noted that Hong Kong just recently had their gold, which was stored in London, is now stored in Hong Kong. They want to keep it closer to home. They don't trust the systems of the world. They think that there's a collapse coming. There's, you hear that paranoia, people always worrying about conspiracy theories. Well, the reality is the Soviet Union has been preparing for economic collapse for quite some time. Germany has been organizing their own economy to prepare for an economic collapse. And so we should realize that this is the way of history. Someone I was talking to last night here in New York, I said, if you want to know the future, study the past. Because we keep doing the same things over and over again. You can't change the course of history. People are going to choose the way they're going to choose. You know, the problem in America today is not the leaders. The leaders are a product of the problem. They are the result of the problem. The problem is selfishness. We have become a selfish nation. On this day in history, I always look that up before I, or I don't always do, but I certainly try to look that up before we go on the air because I find lots of interesting little things to talk about. And there's numerous things that happened on this day in history. It was the Battle of Marathon. That changed the course of history quite a bit. Eastern influences were halted, and a Persian invasion was pushed back, but they were trying to maintain their own culture. But the reality was Alexander the Great went on to conquer Persian nations and incorporated many of those cultural ideas into his own, and they came to us by way of the Greeks and by way of the Romans and by way of a lot of things throughout history, so that today we have a great deal of those same ideas about government that they had then that was a bad idea. People look to government to solve their problem. They look to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. That is the essence of socialism. Socialism forces your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. You decide that it's okay that my neighbor be forced to pay for my welfare because, you know, my house might burn down. I might lose my job and I can't pay my mortgage and lose my house. So I want to force my neighbor to guarantee my social welfare. My kids might not take care of me because I was a terrible parent when I was growing up, and they might not take care of me. I just had to email. I finally got into my email this morning because I'm on the road, and I believe they're on the Texas group. They were 61 years old, been out of the system for 20 years. The individual they were staying with passed away, and now they don't necessarily have anywhere to go. They don't have anybody to. They evidently are capable and able body, but I don't really know the individual. He may be a very good man. He may be an alcoholic. He may be a very hard worker. He may be one of these guys who never gets anything done. All I have is his testimony. But he seems all right when I look at an email. But you can't tell a man by an email. That's why we need the network. That's why we don't need people just trying to come out of the system. They go to the end of the Bible and they say, come out of her, my people. But let's go back to the beginning of the New Testament when Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and the righteousness of God, and all else will be provided to you. So we don't need people that are running out of the system. They're running out ahead of the Lord. They're abandoning ship. They're walking the plank. And they're good swimmers, so they dive in the water and they're swimming for shore, and they don't quite make it, and they need help. But really the motivation that we need to be looking for is those who say, hey, I'm not leaving the ship till I get the women and children off. I'm not leaving the ship till I make preparations for the other members of society who cannot swim as well as I can swim. I could have easily left the system focused on purchasing a piece of ground with a minimal amount of taxes, dug in. I have quite a bit of skills in almost every aspect of building and homesteading and survival that you can imagine. And I have a large family that actually cares about me to some degree. but that wasn't enough for me. I needed to go out and preach the kingdom so that other people would understand how the kingdom worked. And it worked like a network. Like I said, Israelites, 10 families, get together. They choose a contact minister. That's right. He's actually their minister, but he's also a contact minister. Now, what we're asking you to do on the networks is just pick a contact minister. He may or may not become your minister. It depends on his ability and your willingness to cooperate with him. He has nothing to give you to help you with. You know, I had also another email that came in at the same time. Somebody has a piece of ground. Sounds like there's a house on it. I don't know all the details. Sounds like there's some fruit trees on it, some irrigation, and they need somebody to stay there to watch the place. Well, now I've got the one guy who needs the place and another guy who needs somebody to watch the place. But can I recommend the first guy to the second guy? Would that be a good idea? I don't know, because I don't know the individual who needs help. I could just say, yeah, you just go work it out. But really, that's not very efficient. I could be sending somebody to him that would actually devastate his place, ruin his place, burn the place down. And we've had that. We've had that already. And I warned the individual who was receiving another individual. I won't mention any names. But I said at the time, I said, you be careful of this guy, because this guy doesn't really have the spirit, that he could be very dangerous. You be careful who you invite into your home. And I cannot invite people into the home of another man. That isn't my place. I don't know whether that individual is a good individual. There's no two witnesses that can say, oh, yes, I know this guy. He's a great housekeeper. He's a great carpenter. He's upstanding individual. I don't know anybody who could tell me that about that individual. So I can't testify that he's a good guy to put in your home, to watch your home and take care of your home and maintain your property. I can't tell you because we don't have a network. We're not meeting together. We're not finding out about one another. We're not picking our contact ministers. We're not coming together in groups. Now, the groups have started up in many states, and then most of them have picked contact ministers. A few guys are dragging their feet, but they're working on it, and that's okay. And I give them a little bit of a hard time, but I know this is a new concept. This is a revolutionary idea. This is the kingdom of God. Families getting together and picking somebody, not just to help them out, but to put them in contact with other families doing the same thing in other locations. How many people do you think have tried to step out of the system? How many people have not gotten their children Social Security numbers, have not gotten their children birth certificates, have not decided to sell their children for a tax write-off? How many parents have decided not to do that? Because, see, when you start doing that and accepting those benefits, read Call No Man on Earth Father, but My Father in Heaven. What was Jesus saying when he said that? You see, the government is stepping into the position of parent. It will take care of you from cradle to grave. Its social welfare system will promise you welfare. It is the table at which they wish you to eat. But what should have been for your welfare is a snare. How do you catch a wild pig? Put out some grain for free. And he comes and he eats it. And you put a fence up around him little bit by little bit until you've got him. And then you butcher him when he's good and fat. And this is the system that we have prayed to, we've gone to. Jesus said, it is not to be that way with you. I don't know how people miss that. It's in Matthew, it's in Mark, it's in Luke. You are not to be praying to the leaders who call themselves benefactors. You know, I don't want to pick on Obama. He's a victim of our own sloth, our own selfishness, our own avarice. Saul was a great guy, and he was a victim of people looking to him, praying to him. It was too much of a temptation for one man. The only man who ever overcame such temptations is Christ. Even David, a king after God's own heart, how many times did he mess up? We aren't to give men that power. Your ministers aren't to have power over you. You pick them because of their virtue, because of their reliability. That you know that if they say they're going to do something, it gets done. If they say that this is the way it is, this is the way it is. Kingdom of Heaven is spiritual. And sometimes people think, well, oh, Gregory's talking about all these groups. They're out there. I hear sheep on the desert. You know, when we've lost sheep out on the desert at night and gone out looking, you often hear me talking about that. These are memorable events because you're out looking for those lost sheep. That's my job. That's what I do. So there I am out there looking for the lost sheep, struggling to find them. And I hear them. I know they're there. They weren't abducted by UFOs. I know they're there. I can sense they're there. And, you know, crossing long distances, eventually we find them. Now, it could go in many different directions, but you have to. You're walking through the desert at night in the dark without a flashlight. How do you even find your way? Well, there's a way, an inner compass that leads you. And my inner compass says this network is where we need to go. And we need to go there quickly. We need to not drag our feet. Now, when you join these groups in the local states, there's still often hundreds of miles between you because states are big. But there's more people. I was in the airport the other day. I'm sitting there in the airport, eating some of my granola. And a guy comes up and says, "Hey, are you Gregory on the internet?" And I said, I guess so. He says, "I seen your YouTube things. I think they're great," he says. So I'm being recognized in the airport. That's important, that you get recognized in the airport, that you get recognized anywhere. Because now that guy didn't even know I lived in Oregon. And he lives in Oregon. He was going on a flight to Portland. And so I told him, "Do you know about the retreat?" "No, I don't know anything about that." So I told him about the retreat on the 26th, 27th, and 28th. And we'll extend it longer if people want to stay a little longer. But the camping retreat. There aren't very many motel rooms left. And I don't think there's any left in Summer Lake. They're all full up. But through the contact ministers, they have a list of phone numbers you can call. There's also, you can go to hisholychurch.info/retreat.php. Go on the info site and you'll see over there to the left, events. Click on that and it'll take you to it. So there's several ways you can find out about it. But we're going to have a lot of campfire talk, a lot of things we don't talk about on the radio, we don't write about. But we need to want to build this network. Everybody who's on the network, you say, "Well, there's not very many people. There's nobody near me." Although some people have found people right in their own block. They are there. They're out there. We just have to find them. And we have to work together to find them. If you're going to pick up a big log, each of us can't go and tug on it by ourselves. We have to go and lift together and work together. What a revolutionary idea. Voluntarily working together, coming together. Now, I'd love to recommend, there's guys who are underemployed now. We're going to see a lot more of that as the recession deepens. It probably will deepen. I don't want to be a doomsday guy. I mean, if I told you what was coming, I would scare you to death. But that's not my job. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to tell you to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means you have to care about others. If you're just interested in saving yourself, run for it. Go for it. Just go save yourself. Because I'm not interested in people who are interested in just saving themselves. I'm interested in those people repenting of that thinking, that Eastern thinking. That selfish thinking. I don't want to pick on the people in the East, but it's a metaphor for ancients in the past. I'm interested in people who care about their neighbor as much as they care about themselves. And we're under strong delusion. We got that way. I mean, lots of things contributed to it. On this day in history, the Monkees TV show premiered. On this day in history, Maude premiered. Isn't that interesting? On this day in history, the TV show Lassie premiered. We have been distracted by that Colosseum in a box we call TV, the radio, the media. Of course, I'm on radio. We can use it for good. On this day in history, Hong Kong Disneyland opened up. We are so entertained to death. And people, the fellow who had watched my YouTube videos, he had done some pre-education of himself as he was thinking about these things. But, again, I'm not putting those up there on the Internet just to entertain you. I'm trying to call you to come together in a viable network, a true republic, where people care about one another, where we're Minutemen for Christ by being Minutemen for each other, helping one another. We'll be back live.
Sometimes our .com server goes down, so don't forget, we have a backup
FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you? Have you seen Loose Change, the most popular documentary in the 911 truth movement? With the coming change in government, now is the time to push for justice and get this truth into the hands of millions of Americans. First Amendment Radio is offering both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice on DVD. We will ship two copies of both videos to you for $10 cash. Yes, two copies, one for you and one for you to give away. You will see and hear Larry Silverstein admit that they decided to pull the building. Why are they not being pursued? The people must know. Justice must be had. The time is now. Two copies of both videos, Loose Change and 911 Justice, for $10 cash. No checks, please. To First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274.
Welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom, live from New York. The Big Apple. The Big Apple. What is the Big Apple? Why do they call it the Big Apple? Isn't that the apple that Eve... I actually have an apple sitting right here in front of me. Eve bit the apple of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve just tried to decide for themselves what was good and what was evil. They weren't going to listen to God. They were going to do their own thing. Well, eventually this led to Cain. And Cain created the first city-state. And that's what New York is, a city. Now, if you look in the Hebrew at the word for city, it's also the word for terror, frightening thing, guarded place. I always remember the movie Magnificent Seven when Eli Wallach asked Yul Brynner, you think these walls will keep me out? And Yul Brynner responds, they were made to keep you in. Something to that effect. He said it much better than I can. But the point is that these structures, these social structures that we create for our social welfare, bind us. They keep us in. And if they consummate themselves in debt, you can't just rescind your contract. You need to be redeemed. What is that redemption? Well, we talk about it in the book, Thy Kingdom Come. We talk about it in the book, The Covenants of the Gods. It's on the website. Look up the word redemption and see what you find. And, you know, there's a Google search engine up in the right-hand corner of all the websites. Right now, always hisholychurch.info is the most up-to-date. Because I have to do all this in my spare time as we struggle to make, pay the bills here. But that's what we need, is we need that redemption. And Christ knew that when he came, but where did he stop? Where did he start? What did he say? Did he say, okay, just believe in me and you're all saved. That's it. You just accept me as your Savior and you're all saved. When the apostles asked him, who are saved? Are the many or the few? Jesus didn't answer. He didn't say, oh, well, if you just believe in me, you're saved. He said, rise. Talks about the way being narrow. And how do we broaden that way? We decide for ourselves what is good and evil. Step outside of the realm of God's guidance. Now, how do we know what God's guidance is? Well, say the Bible. But the Bible says, I shall write my laws upon your hearts and upon your minds. It says it in both Old and New Testament. Each individual man must do what is right in his own eyes, but his eyes must be opened to the true faith of Christ. It is not, you are not compatible with the Holy Spirit if you are forcing your neighbor to contribute to your welfare by praying to men who call themselves benefactors. Obama's new health care, he's not going to pay for that. He's not going to put up any money for that. He's going to take money from you and from your children and from your children's children. He's going to borrow money to pay for what you want today. You want to be a Sabbath keeper? Work first. Get the benefit later. That's Sabbath keeping. It isn't just taking Saturday off. People say, well, should we worship on... There was a discussion that came up last night. Do we worship on Saturday? Do we worship on Sunday? Well, we're supposed to worship on every day. The Sabbath is a day of rest. And it's a day of rest because we've worked 6 days already. This idea of borrowing against the future, that is anti-Sabbath. You go take your day of rest on Saturday, but if you're borrowed up to the hilt, you haven't kept the Sabbath. You didn't work and earn your day of rest. You took your day of rest, and now you're in debt. There you go. Now you know the Sabbath. Now you know what the Sabbath is. Now, say you pool yourself in a common purse, which the Bible tells us runs towards death, where you lurk privately for the blood of others, the sweat of others. You cleverly create contracts, social contracts, where you have men hired who will force your neighbor to contribute, not free will offerings, voluntary servitude. You're back in Egypt. You're back in the city of Cain. You're back in Babylon. How do you get out? Rescind your contract? Run out of the system? Walk the plank? Jump ship? Is that really the best idea you've got? What about women and children first? What about making a lifeboat? What about seeking the kingdom of heaven, righteousness of God, caring about others? If you really care about others as much as yourself, you won't just leave the system. You will come and work with us to show and create and manifest the system of God in your daily life. Join the network. Pick a contact minister. You don't like that one? The first time you get the Living Stones newsletter, you'll have a link in there that says update link. And you can change who you have as a contact minister. You save that email, you can go back anytime you want and change that contact minister. If you lose that email, we'll send you another one. And you can change your contact minister. You don't have to wait 4 years, no term limits, no term guarantees. Like you today, I like somebody else tomorrow. And these contact ministers, what power do they have? Can they force your contributions? No. You must decide to contribute to the welfare of others so that others will contribute to your welfare. You want me to find a place for you to live? I can probably do it. You want me to find you a job? I could probably do that, too. You want to prove to me that you're worthy at that time. Show me that you care about others. Work to create the network. Work to find others. Help me find the lost sheep. Help me bring them together. Don't divide the flock by creating doctrines and dogmas that have nothing to do with loving your neighbor as yourself. It's very simple. All the doctrines and dogmas of Christ hinge on two things. Do you love justice? Do you love mercy? Do you love forgiveness? Do you love giving? Because these are the characters of God. This is the name of God. And that is doing things in His name to do things in His character. So if you're doing that, then you're doing things in the name of God. And what is the second law upon which all the doctrines and dogmas and precepts of Christ hinge? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your neighbor? You don't even know who your neighbor is. I mean, I'm not just talking about the guy who lives next door. I'm talking about the guy closest to you who is also seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now, the closest to you on the network, you can find that out by joining the network and emailing them and saying, I'm in this town. Don't have to give them your address right off. I'm in this town. I'm looking for others who are seeking the kingdom. Do that. And just join the group. Tell the group you're there. They don't know you're there unless you tell them you're there. And then when you do that, somebody can respond. You can say, well, can we meet? You can meet in an isolated place. You can meet in a public place. You can exchange phone numbers. Somebody's got to step out. Say, hey, well, this is my phone number. Call me. And then talk. And meet. And then when you got 4, 5, 15 guys who are willing to meet, or at least meet on the phone, you can do conference calls. We have a conference call that's being set up in Indiana Group, which includes Illinois and several other states. As soon as we get 20 or 30 people in viable groups that are talking and connecting with each other in each state, we will break off those states. Now, we have plenty in Texas, but we don't have very many in Louisiana. So we're not going to break Texas off from Louisiana. We're going to keep them connected. Same in Oklahoma. Can't just join the network and say, well, I'm on that network. I'll just watch and wait and see. Most of the stuff, the way we've got this set up, most of the conversations take place off the group. If you want to be a part of the network, you have to reach out to others. You know, you don't find the sheep by sitting in the bushes. You have to get up and walk and call to them. Ah! I won't do the whole thing because I'll wake the people next to us. But people don't know how to speak sheep. And there's a different sound that each sheep makes because they're hungry, because they're lost, because they're about to have a lamb. If you know how to listen, you can tell. If you know what they're doing. That's the same way with creating the network. I know that you care about others, and you care enough to reach out for others. Always remember the story. It's a worthwhile story to tell while we're on the radio. Some of you haven't heard it before. Two police officers were driving in Hawaii up the mountain, and there's a place there where a lot of people jump off and commit suicide, and there was a fellow there on the edge, and he looked like he was about to jump, and the cops pulled up. One cop jumped out, ran over, and the guy leaped over the edge, and the cop grabbed him as he went over the edge to commit suicide, and the weight of the man pulled the cop over the edge, and his partner right behind him grabbed his feet as he was being pulled over the edge and held on to him. And he didn't let go. The cop below didn't let go of the guy he was holding, and the cop above wouldn't let go of his partner. but he didn't have enough strength to pull two men up back to safety. And they were the only guys there. And they couldn't, they just kept holding on. Kept holding on until finally people came and they started helping him. And he finally pulled the cop up, and the cop pulled the guy up who tried to commit suicide. And they asked the first cop, why didn't you just let go of that guy? He said, it would be like letting go of part of myself. Well, that's an interesting story. That's somebody who cares about other people. He didn't even know this guy. And the guy was trying to commit suicide, and he was pulling him to his death. All he had to do is let go, and his partner would have pulled him, but he couldn't do it. It wasn't in him to let go. Well, is it in you to reach out to help others? Get on your local groups. Get a hold of your local contact ministers. Your contact ministers will get a hold of me. And then we'll see what we can do for you. But we want to see what you can do for others. We could put you to work. We could put a lot of people to work. And we could feed them wholesome meals. Plain meals, we can feed them. But I have seen a line of men come through who not only don't get the job done, they won't let you get the job done. They distract you on their plan, their project, their chit-chat. We get her done. We get work done. We get an amazing amount of work done. But you have to do it. You have to care enough to do it. And what is the job at hand? Preach the kingdom. How the kingdom works. Okay, how does it work? We can go in layers and layers and layers. You don't need to be in banking. We can show you how to get out of banking and still have access to banking but not be in banking. We can bring together those and show you ways in which you will have your own system of self-government. We can show you the depths of it. We've gone back to Washington. We've talked to people who are in the know. I talked to people yesterday about how to travel, you know, with church ID rather than state government ID. You've got church government ID. You've got many of those things already in place. But I'm not sharing them with people who won't share themselves with other people. I'm not interested in tax protesters. I'm interested in people who want to give half of everything they have so that the kingdom of God be manifest in the world because they care as much about their neighbor as they do themselves. And I don't mean you have to give it to me. You have to give of yourself, of your time, of your energy. God will show you how to do that. I'm not the Big Apple here. I am not your guru. I am not your guide. I'm somebody who started this journey many, many years ago. And I'm going to continue in this way. And though he may slay me, I shall serve him. And I serve him by serving others. If you want to serve others, if you want to save others, we can make a good team. If you want to serve yourself, I'm probably not going to have much time for you. So show me you want to serve others, and I will believe what you tell me. Show that to others. And let them bear witness of your service, and I will believe. All things are established by two or more witnesses. Our ID, how do you get our ID? Oh, you just fill out a paper and send us $30? We don't even have a price on it. We don't put a dollar value on that. There's no dollar value on our faith. It's done by two or more witnesses. Done by a chain of authentication. It is done by networking. 10 families picking a minister, 10 ministers picking a minister, on and on and on until the highest minister in your government, in your republic, in your kingdom, is the best darn servant of servants of servants of servants. He has no power to exercise authority over you. He cannot compel your contribution for the benefits of others. You must do that. They'll know pretty quick. I always tell the story about the Amish people who You know, if you, your house burns down, I told you they don't have insurance. If their house burns down, all the Amish show up the next day to build another house. They bring lumber, they bring labor, they bring nails, they bring everything that you need. They come together to help you build another house. Of course, your sons and daughters are the first ones to show up. Your brothers and sisters are the first ones to show up. But all are a community, and so all show up. Now, some show up late, and some only bring crooked boards and bent nails. Now, that's an exaggeration, but I'm sure if you go into an Amish community, you'll find that some are not as giving as others. And when their house burns down, they may not get as nice a house as those who are really giving, because you know in your community, sending email does not make you a community. Being on the Kingdom News list does not make you a community. Every time I send out the Kingdom newsletter, somebody signs off. And before the day is out, more people sign on. It grows. And it's the more I emphasize the fact that we have to care about one another, the more I have people signing off, and the more I have people signing on. We're changing the guard. We're changing the group. We're changing the direction. We hadn't turned around. You know, I was out there serving anybody who came along. And I thought that's what I needed to do, and maybe that's what I did need to do at the time. But my time is so much in demand now that I have to decide I cannot save you all. I can only save those who seek the kingdom and its righteousness. So, and I don't actually do it. I can help you do it, because you save yourself by trying to save others. Because that's what Christ came to do. That's when you become like Christ. When you are willing to share your bread with others, your time with others, your energy with others. Because you care about others as much as you care about yourself. And so that's the kingdom. That's the keys to the kingdom. And you have to do it. Now, I'll be heading back on the 14th. You can get a hold of me through the contact minister, Kendall, on the contact group. You can only get a hold of Kendall by joining that group. You can be on as many different groups as you want, but you can only pick a contact minister from one group. And we have to have more volunteers. We actually have, I think, another volunteer. Kevin would volunteer to be a contact minister, too. He's been in touch with me already this morning. And he has the information of where I am, but we're not just putting that out on the net. And you shouldn't just come unannounced, because we will be doing things here with others. And so if you want to make contact, care about others, do so. Get on a group. You don't even have to be on the net. Once you get on that group, you can go to a library, get on that group, then you can make contact by phone. You can do it by lots of different ways. You're going to have to meet. There's a meeting coming up in Colorado. Like I said, there's a phone conference coming up in the Indiana group that includes some of the states around Colorado, some of the states around Indiana. Get on the Wisconsin group. That is going to include Minneapolis and Minnesota. Right now, once Minnesota gets their act together a little bit better, we can break them off. North Dakota and South Dakota, there's very few people on there. But we can make it grow if we work together. There's lots of people out there. And we don't want to be dependent on the net alone. And we don't want to be dependent upon telephones alone. We need to make physical contact with one another. Been working on another book. Got a lot of work done while I was on the plane. We'll get a lot more done when we get back. I don't know if it'll be print ready by the retreat, but if you want to come to the retreat, again, get on the group, make a contact minister, get on the group, tell them you're interested in coming to the retreat. You can just go to the website and find the retreat page, which is azoleychurch.info/retreat/PHP, or go to the events column on the left-hand side of the webpage, and you can find out more about that. Let us know you're coming. There's limited accommodations. limited space. I mean, if you're just camping, which is about all that we have to offer, and you're bringing your own provisions, the idea is if anybody studies the fall feast, everybody brings more than they can eat so they can share with those who may not have brought enough. If you intend to be one of those who doesn't bring enough and eat out of everybody else's pot, we'll know it pretty soon, and we'll be able to bear witness to the character of your person. So be not only seekers of the kingdom, but strivers to abide in the ways of Christ, who, when he was given a fish and loaves to eat, blessed them and gave them away. That's right. He didn't keep them for himself. He was hungry. The apostles were hungry. He blessed them and gave them to others. That is the nature of Christ. Everybody wants a blessing, but who wants to give a blessing? Who wants to bless others? Everybody wants to be given to. Who wants to give away? Who will cast their bread upon the waters and hope that it would come back to you? If the audacity of hope, is he cutting down hope? Is he against hope? He's not interested in hope. He is interested in forcing you and your children's children to pay for what you want today in violation of the Sabbath, in violation of the commands of Christ. Be not like the leaders of the other nations who exercise authority one over the other. Not be that way. But that's the way he wants to go, and that's the way he wants to take you. Well, I'm for change. I'm for revolution. I'm for turning around and going the other way. The system will fail. It is the unrighteous man. You need to prepare for more righteous habitation. Not focus on getting out of the system as much as creating the alternative system. That's the ones we need, the ones who have foresight, the ones who have character of Christ, the ones who have this desire to give and hope of being given to. So the audacity of hope really is the audacity of nope. Just say no. I don't want those benefits. I'm going to go look for other benefits by becoming a benefit to others.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.